Okay, morning everyone. Welcome to our quantum microwave seminar. Today we are happy to have Xiaowei from the Kelvin Institute at Kyoto, and he'll talk about counting atypical black hole microstates from entanglement mesh. Okay, please get started.
Hey, thank you so much for the introduction, and thank you so much for having me here. Today I'm going to talk about counting atypical black hole microstates from entanglement wedges. So I'm a PhD student from Yukawa Institute for Theoretical Physics in Kyoto, Japan. And this work is based on, and this talk is based on work I put on the archive last month, which is a joint work with Yasushi Yoneta, who is also a PhD student in the University of Tokyo. So let's begin. First of all, I would like to say something about the motivation of our work. The first motivation is from the statistical physics. So in statistical physics, we have a very fundamental question. That is, why can we use the macrocanonical ensemble to predict macroscopic quantities? And we have a very simple answer from textbooks. That is, almost all the states in the macrocanonical subspace are indistinguishable from the thermal ensemble in the macroscopic point of view. So we can just mix them together to get the macroscopic quantities such as temperature or entropy or something like that. So here, by the terminology of macrocanonical subspace, I mean the Hilbert space spanned by the energy eigenstates in the energy window, which is given by this. And we have a more rigorous answer to the question, which is called canonical typicality. And the statement is that if we consider a state randomly sampled from the macrocanonical subspace with the Hell measure, when looking at the subsystem, which is smaller than a half, then it cannot be distinguished from a canonical ensemble with the probability one if you take the thermodynamic limit where the volume of the system goes to infinity. So such a state is called a typical state. In short, what we know is that almost all the states in the macrocanonical subspace are typical. And in another way, we can say that almost no atypical states in the macrocanonical subspace. But we can ask a very natural question. That is, can we find an orthogonal basis in the macrocanonical subspace, which is formed only from the atypical states? So here I want to note that this statement is not contradictory to the statement that almost all the states in the macrocanonical subspace are typical. So this is the motivation from the statistical physics. And then I want to say something about the second motivation. The second motivation is from holography. So in the context of holography, we know a lot about how to compute different correlation measures in holographic CFTs. Maybe the most famous example is the Liu Tegenhagen formula. In the case of Liu Tegenhagen formula, if you consider a CFT state and consider its gravity dual here in the box, and if you divide the whole space time, whole system into A and B, where in this picture I show the left side and the right side as A, and the upper side and the lower side as B. If you want to compute the entanglement entropy between A and B, what you should do on the gravity side is to find a surface which is homologous to subsystem A. And there are many such surfaces. What you should do is to pick up the one with the minimal area, and then using this kind of formula, you will get the phoneme entropy of rho A, or the entanglement entropy between A and B. We have some other examples. For example, we know a quantity called entanglement wedge cross-section. So here in this picture, I divide the subsystem A into A1 and A2. Then you can consider a region which is surrounded by the Liu Tegenhagen surface and the subsystem. Then you can consider a surface which divides the entanglement wedge into two parts. And here I call this surface the entanglement wedge cross-section. It is known that in the holographic CFT, there are many correlation measures which can be given by the entanglement wedge cross-section, such as entanglement of purification, entanglement negativity, out entropy, and a half of the reflected entropy. So indeed, we know many about how to compute these correlation measures, but works on applying these facts to get strict operational statements are very limited. A very good example towards this direction is the work by Akers and Rath in 2019, where they used like the entanglement wedge cross-section to argue that there must be some tripartite entanglement in the holographic state. So
can I ask a quick question about the entanglement wedge cross-section?
Yeah, sure,
so,
please.
So I think like in general, these like entanglement of purification, negativity, reflected entropy, they're very different. So like in what sense do they all, you know, in what sense are they all described by the single cross-section? Like, is it just I'm kind of surprised they're all described by this wedge cross-section.
That's actually a very good question. So in fact, there is no proof that the entanglement wedge cross-section is equivalent to entanglement wedge of purification. That is just a conjecture, but there exists proof about like entanglement wedge cross-section equal to negativity, out entropy, and a half of the reflected entropy. The logic of that is like in a general system and for general states, these quantities are different from each other, which mm-hmm. is of course true. But if you take the large central charge limit in your CFT, and then require this CFT to be like to have a large gap, which is a necessary like condition for it to be a holographic CFT, then suddenly all these quantities turns out to be the same at the leading order of the central charge. So that is how this happened in holographic CFT. That is actually a very special feature in holographic CFT.
I see, okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, so from this point of view, we would like to know if we can see something strict from these inputs. Like we have so many inputs, like we want to apply them to get some strict statements. That is the second motivation. And the third motivation is about black hole physics and as well as quantum information theory. So this motivation is based on work which is called Black Hole Microstates versus Additivity Conjectures by Hayden and Pennington in 2020. So in this work, Hayden and Pennington showed that at least one of the following two statements, A or B, must be true. The statement A is that there exist extensive violations of additivity conjectures, which is a very significant statement in quantum information theory. So here, additivity conjectures are a series of equivalence conjectures in quantum information. And although we know that there exist tiny violations like in some systems, but we do not know if there exist extensive violations. And it is known that finding extensive violations would be a very significant progress in quantum information theory. So if this statement A is true, then that would be a very significant progress in quantum information. And another statement, B, is that it is a statement about black hole physics. So here, their statement is that there exists at least exponential to SBH minus order one orthogonal disentangled states in the macrocanonical subspace of a holographic CFT at the semi-classical limit. So here at the semi-classical limit, you take the Newton constant G Newton to zero. And this SBH is the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy of the black hole. So here, disentangled state is a class of atypical states, which has a very large entanglement deficit compared to typical states. More precisely, we define disentangled states in this way, or like Hayden and Pennington defined disentangled states in this way. So here, if you look at a typical black hole macrostate and divide the whole system into A and B, and and look for the Lyotechnic surface which accounts for the entanglement tension between A and B, you will find a surface like this orange curve, which wraps the horizon of the black hole. But if you have a very small entanglement such like this, what you should have is something like in this picture, is that you cannot have a very large Lyotechnic surface. Your Lyotechnic surface should end at some point at the horizon or outside of the horizon. So in order to understand why this disentangled state has a very large entanglement deficit compared to typical states, you can take another limit. You can take the volume goes to infinity limit. Then you can find typical states are volume loss states and disentangled states are area loss states. So they are very different from each other. And also this disentangled state, just as I have explained, if it has a geometric dual, it must have some non-trivial structures at or outside the horizon. So in that sense, it looks very like a fuzzball. In that sense, if B is true, if the statement B is true, then one would be able to use fuzzball-like states to account for the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, which is considered to be a very significant like statement in the black hole physics. So here in this paper, like Hayden and Pennington did not show any preference between A and B. They just say at least one of A and B should be true. But like since B seems to be like somewhat strange, like from some people's point of view, so people often consider this argument as a clue for looking for extensive violations of additivity conjectures. For like here, I give an example of such work. So from this kind of point of view, we would like to ask a question, like, can we say something about B, about the black hole macrostate, without any input from additivity conjectures? Can we like show something about it? So based on all of these motivations, in this talk, we will show the following two statements. The first statement is about holographic CFT. So the statement is that there exists at least exponential to the SBH minus order log SBH orthogonal disentangled states in the macroclonical subspace at the J Newton goes to zero limit. And the second statement is about generic quantum many body systems with short range interaction. The statement is very similar but different. That is, there exists at least exponential to the S minus order log S orthogonal area loss states in the macroclonical subspace at the thermodynamic limit where you take the volume to the infinity. So here, this S is the thermal entropy or Boltzmann entropy in like thermodynamics. So here, the statement we show is a slightly weaker statement than the Hayden-Pennington statement B, but even just with this, you can account for the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy at the leading order just with the disentangled states. And another note is that if you look at the archive version of our paper, we actually showed this in that paper, but we will improve the result to this result in the upcoming revision. And I will just sketch.
Can I ask a question? So if I naively think about this program, I would think like I can think about tensor network representation of CFT. Then near the horizon, I usually, so I can think about somehow state of CFT and then coarse graining. And then near the black hole horizon, I have a degree of freedoms and I could pick like product state there, then that would probably gives me area or entangled state, right?
Yes, it's very similar to that one.
I see. But I'm wondering, like, is this idea kind of similar or I don't know, it's very...
So actually, like, it is very similar, but it is very non-trivial to say that kind of states.
I don't know if that is really possible.
So actually, we will show that it's possible. Somehow possible in the last part of this talk.
Okay. All right.
We will give an explicit construction of that.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay. So here we have two statements, which is, the first one is about holographic CFT, and the second one is about generic quantum mechanical systems. But we will just talk about the first one and then comment on how to show the second one. So let's begin.
Question?
Yes, please.
For the second one, I'm actually wondering, is it something similar to the quantum scarf state?
That is also a very good question. So they are somewhat related, but different from each other. So the definition of a quantum scarf state is that a quantum scarf state, first state should be an eigenstate of a given Hamiltonian. But here we just consider some atypical states which are not necessarily eigenstates of a Hamiltonian, which means that if you time evolve that state, then eventually you can like possibly get a typical state, but we will not consider about like time evolution. Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks.
So let me first show the rough sketch of the proof. So at the first step, we will bounding the entanglement or formation of the macrocanonical ensemble defined on the macrocanonical subspace. So the rough strategy is like this. We will first review the fact that entanglement wedge cross-section is greater than the entanglement of purification in holographic states. And then we know that in general, entanglement of purification is greater than entanglement of formation. So based on all of this, this will lead to the statement that at least one disentangled state exists in a macrocanonical subspace. And as the second step, we can consider excluding that disentangled state we found in a step one, and then consider if we can do the same thing for the new Hilbert space. We will say that is actually possible. And what we should do is to give a bound to the change of the average entanglement entropy in this procedure. And then we will repeat and repeat and say like how many such disentangled states we can get from the sub-Hilbert from the macrocanonical sub-Hilbert space. So yes, I will go with this strategy and let's begin. So the first step is to consider the gravity dual of the macrocanonical ensembles. So in the ADS-CFT dictionary, we know that the equivalence between ADS and CFT is given by an equivalence between the path integrals on the two sides. So here I show a gravitational path integral on the gravity side, where this G is the metric of the ADS spacetime, and this M is the manifold of the spacetime. And then we consider another path integral on the boundary CFT side. And the statement is that the partition function on the two sides are equivalent to each other. So here the condition you impose is that the boundary of the ADS manifold is given by the manifold on which the CFT is defined. So from this kind of input, we know that it is relatively easy to give the gravity dual of states which are straightforwardly prepared by a path integral. And in that case, if we take the G Newton to the zero limit, then the left-hand side can be approximated by a saddle point contribution. So the problem reduces to finding the manifold M, which minimizes the action, the gravitational action in this case. There are many examples of such states which can be straightforwardly prepared by a gravitational path integral. The first example is the ground state in the CFT. It can be easily prepared if you take the Euclidean time direction to infinity, and it corresponds to the vacuum ADS on the gravity side. Also, we know that canonical ensemble on the CFT side is due to some one-sided black holes. And thermofield double states, which are some purification of the canonical ensemble, is given by two-sided black holes on the gravity side. So yes, but now we would like to consider about macrocanonical ensemble, but not canonical ensemble. And the definition of macrocanonical ensemble is given by something like this. And it is clear that Well, such a state, it is not very straightforward to prepare with path integrals. So here we will just take some results from this paper, which is written by Marov in 2018. So in this paper, Marov showed that the gravity drills of macroclonic ensemble actually are also given by some geometric drill, which is one-sided black holes. The only difference between a macroclonic ensemble and a canonical ensemble is that when you are trying to find the gravity drill of the canonical ensemble, what you are doing is that you're finding a manifold which minimizes the gravitational action. And this gravitational action can be regarded as free energy. Instead of doing that, if you want to find the gravity drill of a macroclonic ensemble, what you should do is to find a geometry which maximizes another function, and that function corresponds to black hole entropy. And another very important point in this paper is that Marov showed that RT formula also holds in the gravity drill of macroclonic ensemble. So we can assume all the things related to RT formula, even for the macroclonical case. Okay, then let's go to the second part, which is the notion of entanglement wedge cross section. So here, this is a sketch of the RT formula. The second one is a sketch of the definition of entanglement wedge. So the entanglement wedge is just a region which is surrounded by the subsystem you are thinking about and also the RT surface of that subregion. And then based on this entanglement wedge, the entanglement wedge cross-section is defined by the minimal surface which divides the entanglement wedge into two parts, where in each part, you should have A1 on this part and A2 on this part. And you take the area of the minimal surface found here and divide it with 4 G Newton, then you will get a quantity called entanglement wedge cross-section. So it is conjectured that entanglement wedge cross-section is equivalent to the entanglement of purification on the CFT side. This conjecture is given by these two papers. Oh, sorry. This is a paper with a lot of authors, but I just omit them. So the definition of entanglement of purification is given by this. That is, you consider a purification of the density matrix of the system you are thinking about, and then you take the one which gives you the minimal Fermat entropy, and you take the bipartition of the ancilla to get the minimal of the Fermat entropy. So according to certain tensor network models, for example, Happy models, and also equivalently surface state correspondence on the ADI CFT side, what we know is that the entanglement wedge actually gives a certain purification of the density matrix rho A. So in that sense, the entanglement wedge cross-section should be larger than the entanglement of purification. That is the first step of this conjecture. And the second step is that the entanglement wedge cross-section seems to actually give the optimal purification because it satisfies all the known inequalities which is satisfied by entanglement of purification. But now we will just use the fact that entanglement wedge cross-section should be larger than the entanglement of purification, but not using this equivalence conjecture.
Sorry, I had a question.
Okay.
There.
Yeah, please.
So if we assume that, well, it's roughly been shown that the entanglement wedge cross section is equal to this canonical entropy.
Yes.
Canonical entropy of purification. And then entanglement of purification should be smaller always than the canonical entropy.
So I think yes.
That yes. Actually shows the other inequality.
Sorry, what do you mean by the other inequality?
So I think that, like, if you say that the canonical entropy is equal to the entanglement wedge cross section, then you have that the entanglement of purification is always less than the canonical entropy, then you immediately have the other inequality here. So
yes.
Anyways, it's just a comment that, like, this I think is actually not weaker than assuming equality, because we actually know the other.
I think the canonical entropy you're referring is the reflected entropy, right? Like the entropy of the canonical.
Sorry. Yes. Yes, that's right.
Oh yes. Yeah. So actually that reflected entropy is equivalent to 2 times the entanglement wedge cross section. It is the there is a 2. So
I see.
Okay. Yeah. But hey, thanks for the comments.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a related question. Can I ask you?
Yeah, please.
So in the second last line, you said entanglement wedge equals the entanglement purification. And in which circumstance does it hold?
Oh, like the reason why these people state that the entanglement wedge cross section should be equivalent to entanglement of purification is that on the quantum information side, there are many inequalities of entanglement of purification. And they found that the entanglement wedge cross section just magically satisfy all the known inequalities, which is satisfied by entanglement of purification, which is very unbelievable if this is not true. So that's the reason why they argue this should be true, but this is not proven.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let's go to the next part. So here we consider the macroconical ensemble. As I said, the macroconical ensemble corresponds to a black hole on the gravity side. So here, if we consider the whole system and we consider the entanglement wedge of the whole system, now if we take the whole system as our subsystem, then you can find the RT surface is given by the horizon of the black hole. So in that sense, the entanglement wedge is the whole region which is outside of the black hole. And if you divide the whole spacetime into A and B like this, then the entanglement wedge cross section will look like this blue curve. And if you compute this blue curve, you will find that this blue curve gives one half of this quantity. And this is just the definition, like the quantity appeared in the definition of the disentangled state. So we have the definition of disentangled state given by this. So from this point of view, what we have is that we have the entanglement wedge cross section is given by the upper bounds of the definition of disentangled state. Now we consider another quantity called entanglement of formation. So the definition of entanglement of formation is given by this. You consider a density matrix defined on A and B, and you divide this density matrix as an ensemble of pure states. And you compute the averaged entanglement entropy according to this ensemble. Then you find the minimal one, and that minimal one is defined as the entanglement of formation. So it is known that in any state, entanglement of formation is smaller than entanglement of purification for any quantum systems. So in that sense, we have this inequality. We have the entanglement of formation of the macroconical ensemble is smaller than the entanglement of purification, is smaller than the entanglement wedge cross section, and which is equivalent to the threshold of the definition of this entangled state. So then by definition, one can find at least one ensemble such that the average entanglement entropy is below the threshold of the technician. So far, is there any question on this point? Okay, so then let us work on that ensemble, which gives an average entanglement entropy smaller than this threshold. So since we can find such a like such an ensemble, then in this ensemble, there exists at least one disentangled state. What is somewhat non-trivial is that we don't know if this disentangled state is in the macrocanonical subspace or not. And in fact, we can show this proposition, which implies that the disentangled state you find in the ensemble is also like in the macrocanonical subspace. So combined with proposition, you can find there exists at least one disentangled state in the macrocanonical subspace. Then we go to the step two. So in the step two, in the step one, we know that we can pick up an ensemble of states such that it gives the macrocanonic ensemble, and the averaged entanglement entropy computed from this ensemble is smaller than the threshold of the disentangled state. And then from this, we have already shown that there exists at least one disentangled state in the macrocanonical subspace. Then the next step is that we can exclude this state from the macrocanonical subspace and then consider approximating the ensemble with the new ensemble, and the new ensemble lives in the complement space of the state you are excluding. So if you do something like this, then you can give such an ensemble. So now we would like to evaluate the averaged entanglement entropy on this new ensemble. And the point is that if the new averaged entanglement entropy is again smaller than the threshold, then you can find another disentangled state from the complement space. But if this is not true, then you cannot do that. You are not guaranteed to do that, but maybe possible. So our task is to evaluate the change from the old averaged entanglement entropy to the new averaged entanglement entropy. And the point is that some psi in the original ensemble are just slightly modified. So for those psi, we can just use the Fanon's inequality to bound the change of the averaged entanglement entropy. But at the same time, there are also some psi which are largely modified. But we can actually find that such states are very, very rare. And as a combination, we can give a very tight like upper bound to the change of the like phonema entropy here. So the general statement is given by this, but yeah, I will not like go into the details of this general statement. So we have shown that if we repeat such a procedure for k times, then the like new average entanglement entropy is bounded by this. So here, this W is the dimension of the original macrocanonical subspace, which is given by exponential to the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. And the old average entanglement entropy is just given by the threshold of the disentangled state, which is order 1 over G Newton and order like as the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. And here, this log dimension Hilbert space B is the log of the dimension of the Hilbert space defined on the subsystem B, which is also order 1 over G Newton and order like Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So using this upper bound, we can show that if we just pick up one disentangled state from the original ensemble, then you can find the change of the average entanglement entropy is bounded by this. It is just exponentially small compared to like order one. Then that means the average entanglement entropy does not change at the leading order. And in the end, if you carefully analyze this inequality, you can say for k equal to exponential s minus out log s, the average entanglement entropy also does not change at the leading order, which means that you can repeat this procedure at least so many times. And as a result, we get our first main statement. The first main statement is that there exists at least exponential to s minus order log s orthogonal disentangled states in the macrocanonical subspace at the G Newton goes to zero limit. So if you look at this statement, you can see that this is already sufficient to account for the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy if you take the G Newton goes to zero limit. And we will come back to discuss about this point later, but yeah, this is our first main statement.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, please.
So let's say I have a black hole with some, I don't know, some very typical state, and then but the original Hilbert space of SBH dimensions, then the statement is I can pick one atypical disentangled state and I can remove it and I look at the orthogonal subspace.
Yes. Yes.
But then we keep doing that, but then that procedure is like looking at the subspace of the black hole Hilbert space, and then is there any guarantee that we can still keep using geometric interpretations for such modified subspaces?
That's a very good question. So in fact, here we just use the geometric description in the first step, and yeah, from the second step, we do not need to use the geometric.
So in the first step, we use, in the first step means like the very first step when the Hilbert space is full.
Yes.
Oh, I see. So after that, we don't need. I see. Okay.
Yes. After that, we just need some facts from quantum information theory and do not need the geometric to like anymore.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. Okay, so if no more questions, please let me go ahead. So yeah, like then let us go to our second main statement, which is about generic quantum mediable systems. So our second statement is like this. That is, in generic quantum mediable systems with short range interaction, there exists at least exponential to the s minus order s, minus order log s orthogonal area law states in the macrocanonical subspace. If we take the thermodynamic limit, the volume goes to infinity. So the question is how to show this. So we know that in the like holographic case, we are doing something like this. What we need to change is that we need to replace this entanglement red cross section with some other thing, which is reflected entropy. And we replace all the disentangled states in the notion of area law states. So the essential point is that you can use reflected entropy to do something here in this case. And I will show how to do that. So let us firstly show the definition of the reflected entropy. This is introduced in this paper. And the point is that if you consider a density matrix defined on A and B, and you want to compute a quantity called reflected entropy between A and B, you consider something like this. Here, this rho is a mixed state, which can be written in an orthogonal basis like this. And this cat square root rho is defined as a purification of this original density matrix as this. And this kind of purification is called the canonical purification. So in that sense, the ancilla introduced in this purification is just a copy of the original system. Then you can divide the copy and the original system according to your like original bipartition A and B, and then compute the entanglement entropy between them. Then you get the reflected entropy. So for example, if you consider the thermal field double state given by this, that thermal field double state is a canonical purification of the canonical ensemble, which is given by this. So by definition, we notice that this reflected entropy is greater than entanglement of purification, because the reflected entropy is a specific way of purification, and the entanglement of purification is the minimal of the purification. And again, this is greater than entanglement of formation. So let us make a conjecture about reflected entropy in generic quantum many body systems. So to do that, let us first consider the macrocanonical ensemble and give its canonical purification, which is defined by this. So our conjecture is that if you consider such a state and compute its entanglement entropy, it should be an area law state. This macrocanonical TFEC should be an area law state. This is a conjecture, but I will explain why this conjecture is plausible. So first of all, this conjecture can be explicitly shown in holographic ZFTs. So we have such examples. And for more general case, we know that for generic bipartition, entanglement entropy in macrocanonical TFT state is roughly equivalent to entanglement entropy in the TFT state. That is the first point. The second point is that we know that the TFT state in a d-dimensional system with local interactions is roughly equivalent to a ground state with another local Hamiltonian. Based on these two statements, this conjecture is roughly equivalent to the conjecture that ground states prepared by a local Hamiltonian should have area law conjecture. So in that sense, this conjecture is just very similar to the area law conjecture for ground states. And let us take that take that as a conjecture. So based on this conjecture and arguments.
Excuse me, can I ask you about the conjecture? So yes. In the holographic case, I understand. I think, yeah, this conjecture is true for a holographic case with black hole. But how about the excitacy with light operators? Even such a case, you can show this conjecture in holography?
So one thing I want to say is that here we consider a system with sufficiently large temperature. So we don't really consider the low temperature case here.
Oh, but in the sum field double state, you have to sum over all possible energy eigenstates, right?
Yes.
And,
sorry, please.
So in your microcanonical sum field double state, you are considering an energy window which is an energy window which is order C, not the light state?
Yes.
I see. Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for the question. Okay. So based on this conjecture, we can actually show this statement in a very similar way to how we show the statement for the holographic CFT case. And in fact, we can even construct such a set of area law states from a very simple procedure, which I will explain later. So the construction of area law states is given by this. So first of all, let me explain that our proof of the theorem three. And the theorem three is that how you can bound the change of the average entanglement entropy when you exclude a state from that. Our proof of that already tells us how to construct such a set if you already have an ensemble such that the averaged entanglement entropy is given by area law. So our mission is to just give such an ensemble where the averaged entanglement entropy obeys an area law. And for simplicity, we can consider a d-dimensional system with size L. And on each lattice side, we have a qubit with dimension A. Then automatically, we get a complete set of both A to the L to the d product states. And we denote those product states at this. Then obviously you can use this kind of set to prepare the macroeconomic ensemble because you are just inserting an identity operator here. So therefore we can use this ensemble to give the macroeconomical ensemble, which is defined by this. What you are doing here is just you project the product state on the macroeconomical subspace. So intuitively, this set of states has a small averaged entanglement entropy. And that intuition is very simple because, at the first point, you have just some zero entanglement entropy, and then you just do some projection. And it seems that this set also have a very small averaged entanglement entropy. But that is just an intuition. And our question is that true? And we want to show that. So here is a comment from Hayden and Pennington. And in this paper by Hayden and Pennington, they argue that this seems to be wrong. That is, each product state, you have a very small entanglement. When you do the projection, it seems that, it will have a very large entanglement. And this set of states is just the states which is mentioned by Benny, is that you use some tensor network you have some product states at the center of the tensor network and then prepare it to the asymptotic boundary. And then you will get a class of states which is very similar to this class of states. And in fact, we actually show a theorem which implies that the averaged entanglement entropy in this case is actually bounded by the reflected entropy. So we already conjectured the reflected entropy obeys an area law. And that means if you take such a set, then the averaged entanglement entropy should also obey the area law. Well, more generally, we show a theorem like this. So based on this, what we need to do is to start from this ensemble and then pick up one area law state and then project the ensemble on its complement space and then repeat to construct so many area law states in that statement. So our next question is that can we use the same construction for disentangled states but not area law states? The answer to that question is that it is not sufficient to say that, but probably yes. So as I just showed, we only successfully showed that the average entanglement entropy for such a set is smaller than reflected entropy. But in order to construct such a set for disentangled states, we need to show this statement. And in a holographic CFT, the entanglement of purification is roughly one half of the reflected entropy. So there is a large gap between this statement and this statement. But in fact, the reason why I say the answer is probably yes is because we actually numerically found that the average entanglement entropy for such a set in various 1D spin systems, including both integrable ones and chaotic ones, are actually given by roughly one half of the entanglement, of the reflected entropy. And also it is known that for geometric states in holographic CFTs, the entanglement of purification is just one half of the reflected entropy. So somehow it seems that we can use the same construction even for constructing disentangled states in the holographic ZFT case. Okay, so now let me make a summary about what we did in this paper. We show two statements and also give an explicit construction for the second statement. The first statement is this. It is a statement for holographic ZFT. And the second statement is a statement for generic quantum manifold systems. And we also present an explicit construction for the second case. So based on all these results, I want to discuss some relation with some aspects of the physics. So the first discussion is about the black hole macrostate counting with horizonless geometries. So we have already explained that if it is geometric, then a disentangled state would look like a fuzzball or firewall since the entanglement is not enough for it to support a smooth horizon. And here, for this fuzzball, it is some program which is proposed by Mathur and others. The idea of fuzzball program is that any macroscopic black hole states in some UV complete quantum gravity should not have horizons. And in their context, such a black hole is called a fuzzball. And there is an ongoing program to support fuzzball is to find sufficiently many horizonless black hole macrostates in string theory to account for the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So many fuzzballers think that this is sufficient to say the fuzzball program is true. So there is indeed some very successful program to do this. The first one is Superstrata, which is the most successful one 2 weeks ago. Superstrata succeeded to account for S to the 3 over 4 of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. But 2 weeks, maybe 1 week ago, there comes another new paper where they found a class of states called supermaze. And they found that they can use just horizonless geometries to account for square roots 5 over 6 of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. So based on all of this, our results imply that, well, maybe one can find more, horizonless geometries to account for at least the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy. But at the same time, we are also saying that even we can find enough states to give the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy, it does not mean that we can span the subspace. Indeed, in our case, the difference between the true Bekenstein-Hawking entropy and the one we count from the atypical states is at order of log s, which means that it is just a small portion of the original Hilbert space. And the last point is that even if we can span the whole subspace, it just means that some atypical states should be horizonless, but not me, a typical state should also be horizonless. So there are a lot of work to do if you want to say that a black hole is a fuzzball in that sense. So then the second discussion is about additivity conjectures. Here is a review of what I have explained at the beginning of this talk. So Hayden Pennington showed that at least one of A and B should be true. And our statement is actually a slightly weaker statement than B. In their statement B, they showed that the subleading order is order one, but in our case, the subleading order is order log s. So therefore, we can see nothing concrete to additivity conjectures from our construction. Our construction is already sufficient for account for the leading order of the Bekenstein-Hawking entropy from the disentangled states. in that sense, maybe this statement B is not so unbelievable as one may have thought. And the last comment is that since like entanglement of formation plays a very important role in our argument, so maybe one can make some connections between this and additivity conjectures, because there is a version of additivity conjectures which is formulated using the language of entanglement of formation. The statement is that entanglement of formation should be equivalent to entanglement cost for generic quantum systems. So based on this, maybe we can do something to explore the relation between our statements and additivity conjectures. So here comes to the last discussion, which is that our, like the theorems we show in this paper actually have some application to numerical simulation. So here, there is a very famous like algorithm called minimally entangled typical thermal states, which is famous in the numerical simulation field. And this is an algorithm to simulate thermal equilibrium in quantum many-body systems. So the basic idea is that if you have a canonical ensemble, you can write the canonical ensemble into an ensemble of states where you have some product states, and at the same time you give an imaginary time evolution to that product state. Then what you should do is you need to sample the states from the ensemble from above for just other one times, and then you can use matrix product states to prepare each state. Then you can prepare something about the thermal equilibrium. So this kind of algorithm is proven to be very efficient when the Hamiltonian is gapped, but there is no application when Hamiltonian is gapless. There are some reasons about that. The reason is that since entanglement spread under imaginary time evolution with gapless Hamiltonian is not under control, so it seems that the MPS is not efficient when simulating such states in a gapless system. But in fact, our theorem 7, which is our last theorem, actually suggests that the averaged entanglement entropy for such an ensemble scales as log beta, where beta is the inverse temperature. So that is actually quite small, even at the low temperature. So in our upcoming work, we will show that this statement can be extended to general random entropy, but not only for the entanglement entropy. And that will lead to a statement which can show that this algorithm, which is called Matz algorithm, is very efficient even for gapless system. And in that sense, our result also has some application to numerical simulation. So these are all I want to talk about. Thanks for listening, and welcome for any questions. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you for a great talk. Any questions?
Can I ask a question maybe?
Yeah, please.
Yeah, thanks for the very interesting talk. So let me just clarify, did you have an assumption on the energy window? Like you were assuming it's high enough energy, or you didn't have any assumptions on that for like the second result? Say.
Oh, so for the second result, actually we don't have any assumption for the energy window. But for the first result, like for the holographic case, we have an assumption for the energy window, because in that case we consider a finite like system. Mm-hmm. So we need some statement on like how large of the energy we should consider. But for the second statement, we do not really require such things.
Okay. And also I was wondering if like you know of any counterexample for a K-local but spatially non-local Hamiltonian? So, you know, what one might think of like an LTS, you know, for low energy, excluding, you know, states preparable with the finite depth circuit, right? But I guess you could always have area loss states that have high circuit complexity still, right? So I was wondering if could your results generalize the K-local Hamiltonians as well, or do you know of any counterexample?
To be honest, I don't have a very quick answer to that question. So I think our results works as long as you can prepare a thermofield double states which has an area loss entanglement. We need to understand that statement with the K-local Hamiltonian. We need to understand the relation between that statement and the K-local Hamiltonian. So yeah, if you can say something about that, then we can answer your question. But in general, I don't have a concrete answer to your question.
Okay, I see.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Any other questions?
Yes. So just about the early on, you were discussing just sort of the ADS-CFT dictionary for microcanonical ensemble states.
Yes.
In this paper, yeah. And so I think just sort of to clarify your assumptions, one thing that you used is that that you would have this inequality between the entanglement of purification and the entanglement wedge cross section in those ensembles.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then in that paper you were mentioning Marolf shows that the RT formula is true.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Has somebody discussed just if, I guess you can imagine repeating like Faulkner and Duda, this path integral argument for the reflected entropy and the cross section? Yes. Has somebody considered that in the microcanonical setting?
No, I don't think so. I don't think there are many discussion about the macrocanonical case actually. The Marolf paper is the latest paper on how to construct the graph feature of a macrocanonic ensemble.
Okay.
Yeah.
That could be interesting to understand. Okay, great, thank you. So that wasn't a question, that was just the...
thank you so much. So people in general do not really interested in macrocanonic ensemble because they are more complicated and somewhat useless compared to canonic ensemble. Yeah, so that's the reason why we don't have many results about macrocanonic ensemble, but yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, if not, let's thank the speaker again. And thank you for coming here at 2 a.m. That's pretty late.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.